Brethren, today I want to talk to you about a word, an idea, a concept, a practice, a habit. Empathy. Empathy. Have you attempted it? Have you experienced it? Do you feel that you have a good understanding of what empathy is? Is it something that you practice? Empathy. Empathy is the ability to share a personal experience with another through their perspective. Empathy has a close cousin, which we know as sympathy. And sympathy is different in the way that it is similarly the ability to acknowledge and attempt to understand the experience of another, what somebody is going through, but without attempting to do so through their perspective. Sympathy happens through our own perspective, and because of that, it is much easier to do. This subtle distinction, a matter of the eyes you're looking through, produces a dramatic difference between these two practices. With sympathy, there is a distinct demarcation between one individual and another, but with empathy, there is a spirit of unity, togetherness. Empathy is much, much more challenging to learn and employ, simply because it requires that we somehow break out of our natural way of thinking for ourselves, within ourselves, about ourselves, and connect with somebody. Empathy is about looking through the eyes of another, thinking the thoughts that they think, experiencing the experiences that another experiences, understanding through the context and history that a person might have who is not ourselves. It's a skill so foreign to most that the mere concept of sharing and feeling through another's perspective is relegated to the realm of science fiction for those who can perform the Vulcan mind meld. It is a very difficult thing to do, to genuinely put ourselves in the place of another. Empathy is a skill that requires selflessness. It requires unity. Empathy requires love. But above all, for a Christian, empathy is simply required. Please turn with me over to 1 Corinthians 12, where we can read about this concept as Paul describes it. I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 through 27. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member, but many. Verse 15, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would they be? Where would the body be? But now indeed, there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts to have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need, But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and members individually. And normally, we read this scripture to emphasize the point that we all serve a role individually, that we all contribute to the greater whole. And that is very true, but that's not the point I want to make today. Today, I'm making the point that we must work together, and that every one of us is important to the body of Christ. You are important, I am important, every single person is important for a different reason, and there is a necessity to think as a whole, to think together. God placed us here together, as He pleases, so that we can think with His mind, using His Spirit. We are individual members, there's no doubt, but we are undeniably connected. When one suffers, everyone suffers. We all suffer. When one is honored, all are honored. This is empathy. Is it something that we are practicing? Is it when we hear a prayer request go out, as we did today, are we looking through the eyes of the person making that prayer request and thinking about what that person might need, how we can help? Do we suffer too? We need to. Now, we are individuals and distinct, but we are here together to work together as one body for one goal, which is God's. Now, this is more than just a high concept notion. There is a practical impact. Please turn over to Galatians 6, and I'd like to read a scripture there. I'm going to read verses 2 through 5 in Galatians 6. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Very explicit here. Work together. If one person has a need, help out. Bear one another's burdens. Verse 3, for if anyone thinks himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. And verse 5 is important as well, for each one shall bear his own load. There are two main points that I want to bring out in this set of scriptures here. We are to work together to help each other out. I think that's very clear. If someone has a burden that is difficult for them, we need to do something about it. And there are many things that we can do. We can give another support. We can pray. We can physically go and lend a hand, if that's something that's possible. Now, how will we know what to do and even begin to understand another's burden if we don't think and feel as one body? We really must work together in order to understand what is needed in order to help out. Empathy is a useful tool in this regard. So that's the first point. We need to help each other out and work to understand each other in order to do so. But the second point is that we need to make sure that we're not a burden on others. We need to bear our own load as well. And this takes some serious thought. Are we trying our best to help ourselves and others, or are we putting others out? Are we working to support ourselves? Just because we are part of the body, knowing that we need to help each other out, it does not mean that we are entitled to help. We must bear our own burdens as much as we are capable. Now, we all have limits, and we all have a need for help, right? But are we trying our best? It's important that we genuinely do so. In fact, taking care of ourselves to our the best of our ability is being considerate to others whom we rely on. We can be empathetic to them, even in our own need, in that regard. So we can help each other out by helping ourselves to make sure that we are working towards the greater need of the body. So that second point is, make sure that we are helping ourselves as much as we are capable, so we don't become a burden unduly on somebody else. So why is it important to think about this? Paul mentions that we need to think as one body, we need to work together as a unit to help each other out, but why? Why is it necessary? Please turn over to Romans 15, and I'll read verses 1 through 6, which describe this. Romans 15, starting in verse 1. We then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak, and not please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another, according to Christ Jesus, verse 6, that you may be with one mind and one mouth, glorified the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The purpose in working together is towards that goal of glorifying God. In working together and having a unified purpose to glorify God, we living through using God's Spirit as a unit to accomplish His goal. We don't do it for ourselves individually. We don't glorify ourselves. We work together for the sake of the unity of the body to glorify God. And like-mindedness is required here, which is very much that concept of empathy. Thinking with one mind from another's perspective. The concept of unity is central to the administration of the family of God. God is one. Please turn over to Ephesians 4, and I'll read verses 1 through 6 there. Ephesians 4, starting in verse 1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. God's Holy Spirit is in us. If we are not thinking with that Spirit together, we're doing something wrong. This unity is key. God is one, so we must be too. And by sticking together, really working to remove our self from the equation so we can understand each other, we demonstrate the unity of the Spirit, which so powerfully works in us. One of my favorite proverbs is 27:17, and that one reads, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. And I believe that applies in this message I'm giving today. By working with each other, we build each other up individually, but as a whole as well. Edifying one another and building each other up is a very important thing we must do. Each one of us knows our brothers and our sisters enough to have at least some understanding of what they might be going through. When I take a moment to think about the people that I know sitting in front of me here, sitting across the country, sitting in front of a set of computer speakers, it doesn't take much effort for me to know, at some level, what each of you individually is going through. Having personal conversations with you all, I know this. And I cannot think of a single person who has no problems. Every one of us is challenged to live this Christian life. And I can think of individual struggles that each of us are going through. I'm sure that you can do the same. We need to work together to look through each other's eyes, to help each other out, because our success is the success of others. Our pain is the pain of others. Our work is the work of others. And that work is the work of God. We are together and need to keep it in mind. Our intents and actions must be considerate of others. That is love. The active and outgoing concern for others. We are connected in spirit, and we need to think that way and act that way. And I'll leave you with a verse from 1 Peter 3 and verse 8. Finally, all of you, be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers. Be tender-hearted. Be courteous.